every episode starts with the Fennec sigh of defeat.
Yes. Welcome to Notcast, episode
334.
2016, we out. I'm Saverin.
I'm Halfwit Genius.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And we have guest dog Bo.
Yes.
Yes.
The dog Bo.
Hi, dog Bo.
It's yet another hookah cast because it's the time of the year when we actually can.
Yep.
Without melting.
The last episode of the year, too, because...
Oh, sorry, Shuba.
Tis the season.
I wanted to pass
for over. All sorts of holiday BS keeping us from recording.
Yes. Yeah. So, it's been a couple weeks. Let's see.
Well, for you.
Yeah, well, for me. I was out of town.
Saverin and I talked about something last week. I don't know what it was.
You slept since then?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, well, it's been 2 weeks. We tried to keep it positive and all that, and they were like, all right, well, Thanksgiving's coming up. Hope that's going to go well. So,
yeah.
On my Thanksgiving front, it did go very well. I went to 3 different family Thanksgivings, and everyone was cool.
Cool.
It's always nice.
3? Everybody hopped off of the sensitive topics, or?
Yeah.
There were no Trumples.
Because Panther's dad's side, Panther's mom's side, and then Panther's extended family.
Mm.
So, 3 full delicious meals!
Jesus Christ.
Everyone was cool.
I went to Sarah's folks, and I thought it was going to be awkward at first, because they invited the neighbors over again. And one of the first things the neighbor said when they walked in is, oh, I can tell that this is a Trump household. I have no idea what they were referring to. And we were like, oh, shit, is it good?
They were like, no, it's not. Fuck off. Get out.
Well, and me and Sarah kind of looked at each other going, oh, shit, is this going to be one of those super... And then, no, it turned out that they were sarcastic, and it didn't turn into politics horn-locking. They were just being...
They were being dumbasses.
Yeah. And I'll just be goofing around. It's like, okay, we're not having that. And then we had the Vagabonds Thanksgiving here in town. So, I go to Sarah's folks because it's required, not because I want to.
Vagabond, yeah.
So,
which is somewhat ironic if you consider the gender balance.
Yeah. I cooked a fuck ton because I cooked for Vagabonds. I cooked a little bit for Sarah's parents. And then we had our own leftover dinner, which we're still eating, that I cooked up on Sunday.
Well, I saw the number of rolls you made. How many of those made it out?
I think 6 after dragging them various places. I made, like, let's see, 48 times 3, so a fucking ton.
Yes.
That's what it says in the cookbook, right?
A fucking ton.
A fuckload.
Fuckload, yeah.
So... But I found a good roll recipe for the first
time.
More
rolls than your fat ass should eat.
Yes. So, other than that, I mean, it's been a decent week for me. As I told these guys, you know, I've been out of work for over just at the 2-month mark now. Hadn't really gotten much nibbles. And then this week, I have 2 in-person interviews tomorrow and another one that if I pass a background check will probably happen early next week. So, yeah.
See, when that happens to me, they always do the background check last.
I thought that. And, yeah, but these people are doing it first, so I don't know.
Eh. Maybe they have a good feeling about you? Who knows?
If they're spending money on a background check, then that's a really good sign.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I mean,
that shit ain't cheap.
That's like $50 at least. Yeah,
and that times however many. So, we'll see how that goes. But it's like I had no nibbles, and then suddenly...
A bunch
of nibbles. I also wonder, I overhauled my resume some, and I changed the job title that was more in line with the naming schemes of whatever... Like, my job title was official Level 2, and it was spelled out Level 2, and then Application Technical Support Analyst. Well, everywhere online, it's like Application Technical Support Analyst, and then they usually like 1, 2, or 3, but Roman numerals. So I changed it from the Level 2 blah, blah, blah to, you know, basically using, and I overhauled my resume, and suddenly I got a lot
rank
more...
Rank 2.
Right nibbles. So I'm not sure if it's...
Just keep feeding Gnome resumes, and he'll eventually give you rank 3.
So I've been, So I've been going a lot of places and doing a lot of different, like, calls and going out for interviews and everything this week.
God, what would a gnomish resume have on it?
Managed to explode 2 out of 10 chickens, have a good failure rate? I don't know.
Hi. Yes.
He's just like...
Flag. Guest Dogbo.
Yes. Guest Dogbo is being super friendly tonight.
Dogbo.
Which is fine, because, like, friendly dogs, always good. Poor Zeus was being very needy as well.
I wonder why.
It's been a interesting period of time for me.
That's a word.
Bad shit going on, family stuff, and yesterday was quite the day, but really don't want to go into too much detail. Just say that, like, man, I'm the only, like, okay adult in my family. It's rough.
It has been a rough year for your family in general, has it not?
Yeah. But, you know, I'm okay.
Because I know you took Fidel Castro's passing very hard.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to kill him.
He was a personal friend of the family.
I know my family is in all kinds of uproar because of the fires up in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge.
Yeah.
No direct family members, but a lot of friends of the family in that area, and I've heard some of them have lost homes. And, of course, Dad being a firefighter up there, the first thing he did was go down to help volunteer with relief and firefighting efforts.
So, I heard about that in the news, but I hadn't read the articles. What actually started the fire?
I haven't actually caught anything about what has started the fires. I just know they started, as far as I can tell, in the woods in the area, which it is a heavily wooded part of Tennessee, and went on to consume parts of residential and business, Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg, which are both pretty big resort towns.
Right.
So any evacuations in that area have to have been a huge hassle. Although, it is just too early to catch the big Christmas season, thank goodness.
Right.
There was a photo I saw that was a burned out SUV that the aluminum wheels had melted.
I saw that picture. Rivers
of metal onto the concrete.
And the stat on the tweet said something like, this happens at 1200 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. Impressive.
Fire hot. That picture should have been on that Arcollect Twitter account, because it looked kind of weird and weirdly futuristic like that. Just this molten aluminum flowing away from the thing.
T-1000 car.
We've got
TFF staff out there, and like Shelby, who was part of Artist Alley and then moved on to hotel, was just sending these. You know, like, she was really. I mean, some of her most beloved places have gone up in flames by what she said, and just it's pretty damn devastating.
It's huge. I know nobody I personally knew was affected because I'm from farther north than that, but a lot of extended family, friends of family, there's a lot of second and third degree connections to that I'm starting to hear about.
Yeah. So, let's see.
Yeah, that sucks. Like, Dolly Parton's actually apparently doing a lot to help people who've lost their homes and stuff.
Because that area is, for obvious reasons, fairly dear to her heart.
It's where Dollywood is.
Yeah.
I don't know what Dollywood is. I mean,
it's an amusement park.
Oh.
Yeah, it is a theme park based around a lot of the concepts of Appalachian culture and, of course, a lot of Dolly Parton music.
Yeah. I guess she has that connection to Tennessee, like Prince had to Minneapolis.
Have you guys seen the Pentatonics Dolly Parton Jolene mix-up?
I haven't yet, no.
Oh, it's good. It's really good. So, but then again, I'm a huge Pentatonics nerd, so anytime
I don't know
they...
what that is.
Pentatonics?
They're a 5-person a cappella singing group that does
and
covers.
Sometimes it's very hard to determine that they're, in fact, a cappella.
And, well, and also, 3 of them are from Arlington.
Uh-huh.
So they're semi-local. And so they cycle back to the DFW area periodically.
Yeah.
Siam's actually gone out to see them perform, and they're impressive.
I've heard the name. Like, just for the name, I thought it was like some kind of electronica thing or something.
They
it
might
could
as
be further
well
from
be.
The truth.
With some of the things that they can do with their voices.
They've done some really neat Daft Punk covers.
Yeah.
Wow.
They've got one guy who's got this wicked low bass, Abby. I mean, it's a real, like,
one of those spine-melting.
Bone-deep, like, I rarely have heard anybody be able to maintain this tone. And he can sing in a normal range, but his bass is amazing. And he can also do overtone, which is unusual.
Thank you.
The three kids from Arlington, you've got Scott, Christy, and I'm blanking on his name. Scott, Christy, and brown-haired kid. I'm going to come up with it. And they've all got different skills, and she's got a really crystal clear voice. Scott sounds more popish. He's got kind of, and then Mitch has got a wicked, wicked clear tone to his, has got a really, really crystal clear bell-like tone when he lights off. And the fifth person is, you first saw him out on YouTube, and he does beatboxing while playing a cello. He doesn't do the cello and this, that, but he's an excellent beatboxer, so he does a very good percussion bass line. So you've got the highs, you've got the really deep bass, and you've got percussion. They manage to sound like there's some instruments involved there, but it's all just human voice, and it's kind of fucking fantastic.
Schrodinger's Cat.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, too. They're a Austin-based a cappella group. I don't know if they're still active or not. Like, I picked up their albums on, like, Bandcamp or something like that, like, way back in the day, like 10 years ago.
There's also Straight No Chaser, which is another a cappella group, and they're really good, too.
And it is definitely the season for some of their medleys.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they did a really, tangent off a, they do a really good cover with Dolly Parton of Jolene. And it's impressive.
I had seen a video for that, but I was, you know, about to head out the door to work a couple of days ago, so I didn't actually go to click on it and watch it.
Apparently on The Voice recently, they did Alive with Her Again and Miley Cyrus. I haven't watched that one, but I'm going to imagine, you know. To be fair, an a cappella group is kind of perfect for The Voice. I mean.
How old is Dolly Parton?
She is immortal.
No, she's got to be up in her 50s or late mid 60s.
If it was any other star, I would make a horrible joke here about asking which part, but
well, let's just say her boobs are a lot younger than she is.
No,
hers are natural, aren't they?
In fact, she had a reduction.
She's 70. Holy shit.
Dolly Parton used to be more stacked. They were natural, and she got taken down.
Mostly because she wanted to continue to stand up straight.
I remember
1946. She looks really good for 70.
I remember years ago there was an interview with Kenny Rogers, and he was like, "I know what you're all wondering. Are they real?" And he goes, "No, they're wigs, all of them." Because he did a lot of duets with Dolly back in the day, so. That's why he was being interviewed.
It is definitely hoodie weather now.
Yeah.
Yes. I am concerned. I only brought my little my light Rock Band hoodie and was like, I don't know if this is going to be good enough because we're sitting outside.
I can throw you some more if you need it.
Well, because both my Raven hoodie and my Fiesta hoodie were dirty and in the dryer.
We have other hoodies if you need
it. Oh, I know. I'll be fine. But Phoenix get cold at like 65 degrees, so winter is suffering.
Especially as you've lost mass.
You've lost your insulation a bit.
We're both sucking on the thing at the same time, Fuzz.
Aw, yeah. Oh, MFF.
Two furs, one hose. Wait, two furs, two hoses, one hookah? Man, I don't know.
So I think it was Sarah, or maybe not, pointed out that tonight we have a perfect 1-to-1 boob to cast member ratio.
Yes. We have one boob per person.
Just rip.
Oh god, I wish they were Velcro.
I wish, yeah. Just, or just say unscrew and just...
Yeah.
So if you're like laying down for a massage or something, you just take them off.
It's really hard to lay down on your front to, if you want to lay in your stomach and read.
See, I've never really had that problem.
Oh no, I always feel like I'm wedged up.
For me, the problem is lying on my back and then my boobs come up to my throat and attempt to strangle me.
Oh, yes, there is that too.
I would just imagine that, like, sitting up or leaning back slightly in bed, like, big boobs would make, like, a nice bookshelf.
Oh, they do.
They're
totally good bookshelves.
Matter of fact, I think we both started doing this independently, but if I'm not mistaken, we both measure boob size in terms of cat capacity.
Yes.
I think we determined at one point that I have 2.5 cats. And how many did you manage?
About 2 cats. Usually one over each shoulder.
Yeah, I just realized how dirty that was. I was like, boobs. You could put a book on them.
I have.
And then you guys are just as dirty for being like, oh yeah, totally.
Seriously, what can't you set on these when you're trying to look at it up close?
Not much. I mean, it's a perfect prop.
I mean, if I'm beating, elbows go here.
Yeah.
I can't remember what comedian it was back in the day. We were talking about how they liked big booties. And they're like, I want a booty so big you can put a clock, radio, and a cup of coffee on it.
A booty side table. So, something that may be potentially interesting to our listeners. There is a Kickstarter. I tweeted this from the podcast account today called Tanglewood. It is making a new Sega Genesis / Mega Drive cart, a physical cart that will run on actual Genesis hardware. But they have a demo out, and I played it today. I kind of found it pretty fiddly, but it's got a cute fox as its character. So, you know, furries will dig that shit. It was cute, but obviously, there's no tutorialization, so you have to kind of figure it out as you go, and I just like, eh. And if your power runs out before you can do the thing correctly, you have to die and restart. Just like on the Genesis! Ah!
Chew.
There's no retries.
Oh, speaking of nerdy, furry bullshit, so you guys saw I've got a house, so I bought, like, outside Christmas lights.
Yes.
One thing I have not put out yet and got cleared off the dining room table is I have a stupid, like, one of those fan blow-up Santa foxes.
Yes.
Oh. It's about, you know, chest high.
Uh-huh.
And it's super... It kind of looks like the Target fox with a Santa hat. Yeah. Kind of. It's like, I need one more extension cable before I can hang it up.
Santa Cute. Fox comes, helps the young, virginal boys and girls get laid.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But, well, mainly boys, because, you know, he's a fox.
Santa will bring you a pop cherry under your tree.
I've got a red
tail.
Rocket for you.
So another thing that I thought was kind of neat and is in the theme of the show, you know, since we have to talk about sexuality, is MFF, in honor of World AIDS Day, which is today, is doing a free HIV screening at the con. Cool. Like, I think it said Cedars-Sinai is out there. And
wow.
Go and get screened at the con. And this is a marked difference from other cons that try to be like, no sexual related programming on the schedule at all. We don't talk about sex. Everyone is neutered.
Oh no, we're Disneyfied.
Yeah, the whole con is Disneyfied, and you know, MFF's like, we know y'all are going to do it, so let's make sure you don't have the HIV.
Yeah. Well, and go get TFF in our first couple of years,
I like how Keo always says he goes and gets his AKC certification.
And see, first couple of years of TFF, we were very leery about doing any of that. And then, like, the last 2 years, we had a bunch of safe sex panels. Or, like, each year we usually have at least one safe sex panel.
Yeah, Avery Avery does the safe sex one, right?
I think so. Did Wolf and Horses Ghost did it 1 year.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Avery did, like, the 2 subsequent years after that.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, you know, when you first start out, I mean, you kind of take your cues from the market leader, so to speak, in your industry. You know, you kind of make changes and figure shit out as you go along. But it's really interesting because MFF is like the second largest furry con, so it's kind of a big statement, and that's cool. I think, you know, we should promote being safe and healthy. And,
yeah,
you know, we are a pretty sexual community. I mean, or at least pretty open about it.
It's also the fact that for being a huge population is LGBT, and there's not a lot of sex education for that's geared towards that particular demographic, at least in high school and such. So people come out of high school being really ignorant. So for some young people, this might be the first time that they've, you know.
Remember, the top wears the condom.
That, and just in female terms, I almost managed to graduate high school without knowing what a clit was.
That's sad.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, most of your sex education, coming from where I come from, consists of penis goes here, baby comes out.
Yeah.
And don't you fucking do it until you're married.
Yeah. And it's about procreation, and pleasure is nothing to do with what they teach.
If a penis touches a butt, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's the loophole.
Oh.
Yeah. That's there are, there's right? two loopholes, and Catholic kids found them both.
Yep. And we talk about bubbling and Mormon porn.
Wait, bubbling?
It's when you use...
Oh, tell us a story on Dirty Uncle Saverin.
Okay, so basically, it's really simple. If you guys go and look at the cover of the first Kaijo Blu-ray, the anime Blu-ray, it's basically when you use... It's a solid color, and then you cut out bubbles, like certain little spheres, so that you have... genital areas covered by bands of color, and like it covers up a swimsuit or whatever. Uh-huh. So your brain fills in the blanks. So it makes people look naked when they're just in like a swimsuit or whatever. Uh-huh. And that way it's not actually porn, but your brain fills in the blanks.
Just like your dick fills in the blanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your dick fills in the blanks, pretty much.
Interesting.
So, yeah, unfortunately, Kaijo, being the boob-foo anime, it's apparently not selling well on Blu-ray. Oh, no! There's not going to be a second season. Oh, no!
Except it doesn't matter, because
it doesn't matter, because it exists already. Ugh, that show. And then, of course, Fuzz, we were having lunch, and he's like, I want to see a Rule 63 version of that. And he was like, Battle of the Bulges.
mush.
Like,
yeah.
Sword fighting and ass fighting.
Will you see my sack attack?
Then Tanuki Bob shows up and are all dead.
That's right, yeah.
That's the atom bomb.
He's the boss level.
I'm just
level.
Picturing the sack explosion.
So, yeah.
So 2016 has been a hell of a year.
Yeah.
It's been just... I mean, it was good for me at the start, and then it's been all over the map since. I'm kind of ready to move on to 2017. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I'm ready for my vacation time.
Worried about 2017 for obvious reasons, but...
Yeah.
Well, 2016, what the hell, America, is followed by 2017, the consequences of what the hell, America.
Emperor Trump can't do that, can he?
Oh, you can ask that question in the gulags.
Trump.
They're going to send me back in the haggis boat. I just know it.
Yep. Again.
That's how I snuck over here, by the way. I was a wee bear and I was all wrapped up in a wee sheep's tummy.
And you floated across the Atlantic. Oh. So actually, something cool that you can talk about that we didn't talk about. Did we talk about it last time on the show when you went up to see Wolf of Horse's Ghost?
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of fun.
I still need to see their store.
So I've had a standing invitation to visit Wolf and Horse's Ghost for nearly 10 years. About the entire time I've known them, they've wanted me to come up and see their place and hang out and stuff. And, like, it used to be they were working jobs where their days off were Tuesday and Wednesday. And my job for the last 9 years has been Monday to Friday. So, and the weekends are usually, they were busy. And it was like, I couldn't didn't really take the vacation time in the middle of the week because I use all my vacation time on doing for Planet stuff. But our friends Wolf and Horses Ghost opened a store almost 2 years ago. They opened a brick-and-mortar Adam and Eve store in Norman, Oklahoma, which is sort of a satellite city of Oklahoma City. And they bought the building, and it's in this, like, small, old, historic area.
It looks really pretty from there.
It is really nice, yeah. And it says, like 1898 or something was when, like, the foundation was laid. It's, like, in a little plaque in front of the stairs there. And their part of the building goes back to, like, the early 1900s or something like that. So it's, like, a 100-year-old building, and they've revamped it and everything. And, if you want to support them, I'm just gonna throw this out. Oh, Doggo has stick.
Doggo has a stick the size of Doggo.
Yeah, he's just pretty much.
It like, ha ha! I'm self-satisfied. I have conquered the stick.
We're not really doing like ads anymore for Adam and Eve because we're pretty much relying on our Patreon. But I just want to throw this out because this is a furry owned and operated business. But if you want to order online, it's adamandeveokc.com. Is each store has their own website. And when you click on something on that store, it sends you to the main site, but with a code and the URL. So anything you buy, like they get the proceeds from it.
So if they're gonna do it.
The not coupon code is valid on that as well. So you can do that, use the code, and some furries will actually get the money to keep their business going. Which is really cool. Upstairs is Blue Tsunami Studios, which is the studio that's Sublevel 3. That's their studio name. So, like, Wolf has a videography business. Blue Tsunami is based upstairs. Togo, the keyboardist for Sublevel 3, has his computer business up there. So, like, They're all doing really well, and it's really impressive. And what's cool is that they really treat their employees well, and they want their employees to be like really knowledgeable. And they focus a lot on education. So they want, you know, people to walk in there the first time they're nervous or something like that. They want each visit to be kind of an experience, you know, and actually really help people out.
Do they have any female employees?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. The night I was there, they were actually going to have somebody from a local dungeon coming in to do a Shibari class upstairs.
So very sex positive. And
oh, absolutely. Oh, and here's the thing that really impressed me. I know a lot of trans people being in the furry community, and they actually have a transgender section that has, like, you know, packers for the female to male, and the boobs for the male to female, and lots of other stuff like that. But the fact that, like you don't really see that in adult toy stores that often.
No, it's one of those things you have to go looking for.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And like, it's not like, and like, so of course they are specifically LGBT friendly. I mean, being a G couple themselves. But like having a whole section there just devoted to help trans people, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, that is.
And they're
check
just
check out the site and see if they carry binders.
They're just I think they probably do.
I do know that for larger chested gals like us, you have to be really careful of the binders that you get.
Yeah.
Or else you can cause damage long term.
I've tried a really reputable one, but I think I got a size large, so basically it looks like I have very slightly too large moobs to actually be male. I was trying for a cosplay and it didn't work out exactly.
But yeah, they're good guys. They're friends of us, friends of the show. I got to see their house. I got to meet their horse, Draft Stallion, and I got to meet not Draft Stallion, the local furry. The horse was a Draft Stallion.
Whose name is
I have forgotten all the animals' names. The last names. Time
I was up there, we went up there. Was it you?
For the wedding.
The wedding.
And the wolf was giving him beer. He just poured in his hand, and the horse was just like, yeah, give me that.
Well, I used to have a horse where you could give him the bottle. They would take the bottle, tilt it up, drink the entire thing, and you just kind of caught the bottle and it came down.
I also got to meet their deer.
Ah.
Their deer. And I got to pet a deer. How cool is that?
But my first kiss was a harbor seal.
Oh.
That's a bit further out there.
That has got to be, if you ever write one, that is the name of your memoir.
No, the name of my memoir is They Don't Make That in My Size.
Yeah, that's my tip.
Because seriously, they don't.
Well, so yeah, that was the big thing I'd done. I don't think we talked about it last episode. But
did he actually bring up the ball?
Yeah, he brought it up and set it down and let me throw it.
Wow.
And now he's playing keep away.
Yep.
Don't because take, that's what he does.
It's now like 10 feet that way.
Ignore him. He'll bring it back.
Bring the ball.
Silly doggo.
He plays an elaborate game of keep away until he gets bored.
That's a smart way to do calls.
Yeah. And it's pretty to watch.
Yep. She would just set a new coal on top of the old coal and use it to ignite.
Yep.
It keeps the dog
ignite the out. Fire within.
Yeah, because Bo really hates the sound the blowtorch makes.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame him.
Yep.
See, other than my... I hate to say it, but I really haven't done that much this last week. It's been a lot of, like...
Yeah, a lot family, of family.
Family
yeah.
fires, and I've recorded some shit, and yeah. I recorded a full Let's Play of this game called Kick-Ass Commandos. It's kind of like Gauntlet with guns.
I'm sorry, Bo. I'm going to need to use the torch a little.
It's fun. And it was actually... I occasionally get codes for indie games because I signed up for a website called Keymailer.
Yeah.
And basically it's for, hey, we'll give you a code for our game if you'll make videos on it. And
yeah.
It's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And sometimes you get some shit. And sometimes you get some surprisingly fun little games.
Now, do you have to make a video for the game, or can you choose not to?
You can choose not to, but if you don't, it kind of counts against your score.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they have for a certain ratio, basically?
Yeah, basically, if the game is worth it, if you want to do like a full Let's Play, that's cool. And they make sure that all their stuff is cleared. And I've gotten probably a dozen games that way, but... This one, it's actually the first $15 game I've gotten, so I'm working my way up there.
I know, Whoa. You hate the blowtorch.
But it was fun. It was just one of those, you can request stuff, but because I have things like Doom and Elite Dangerous on my
play,
that I can now play, doing random indie stuff has been, like...
Lower on the priority.
Yeah.
Did you play Owlboy yet?
No, I need to play it. And people are like, it's so fucking good. And I'm like, it's $25.
That's what Sarah's been going on about. And it looks really pretty. But we haven't played it yet.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I played some Elite Dangerous. And that's a lot of fun in a very relaxing way. And I'm looking forward to playing Doom and recording that. But I've had... fires to deal with.
Yeah. A lot of fires.
Yeah, like, I haven't had a good, like, non-fiery week since I've gotten that machine. So it's like, well, I've got these games that I can play in theory. Oh, and,
there is one active mosquito in the state right now, and it found me.
Oh.
Well, it's like...
If you...
And it's like 50 out. Well, 57, so... It's gotta be really, really... Like, determined mosquito. Yep.
Maybe you just have exceptionally tasty blood.
I do.
Yep. But yeah, I managed to make it through the Steam sale without only spending $60, and that was only on two games, so... Nice.
Unless you're a vampire, in which case I taste like garlic.
Well, there was some garlic in the potatoes tonight, so... But you're supposed to keep skeeters away.
The streams that we've been doing for Jackbox have continued to be successful, getting around, like, 20 folks showing up.
Yeah.
We have our crew of normal people, our regulars, then we occasionally have fuckheads we have to ban.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, look at that, you're shitting up my game. Ban!
Bye!
You're talking about weird shit and breaking the rules of my chat. they're very simple.
Don't be a fuckhead.
Don't be a fuckhead. And I have to ban you.
Don't be fuck.
But it kind of sucks because I've not been able to do my streams the last little bit because of family stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not going to be able to do it tomorrow either because I'm going to be busy that evening.
Shit happens, you know?
Yeah, isn't it great being responsible?
It's great being responsible, but I kind of want to make it, like, a regular thing as well.
Yeah, and but you've just been really good about being regular.
Yeah.
And the extra fibers really helped.
I was waiting for that.
Thank you.
But doing the YouTube creative bullshit, that's all right. And just trying to not let the family fire... Yeah,
it gets hot.
Fuck with me, you know? I am the responsible son. I am the only one that is not having multiple crises at a given time. He looks at me with the ball in his mouth, whines, and runs off with it.
Obviously, you're supposed to chase him.
He hasn't quite figured this out yet.
Yep.
He's, oh, he's figured it out. He's just not... We're not ignoring him enough.
He's playing a game on his own.
Yep.
Oh, what... I can actually say... I forgot to mention I had a good Thanksgiving. My sister flew out like she does each year for Thanksgiving. Went over to Tiered's parents' house for Thanksgiving. It'll be it's the last Thanksgiving at that house that they grew up in because his parents are bought their retirement home in Colorado, which I'm looking forward to seeing at some point. But we had 17 people at Thanksgiving all together. Yep. Tiered's family, my sister, local friends, so it was a lot of fun. It's a good time. And on the business front, I can report that we had a very good Black Friday.
Yay.
So thank you very much for everyone that supported the business and spent some dosh there. Keep an eye on our Twitter. We might do other little sales here and there before the end of the year is out. But, right now we have, like a bunch more money than we usually do on a credit card because we paid for our calendars, we paid our, we got all of our stuff printed for MFF. So, after the con's over, we will pay it back, it'll be fine.
But, so, in the meantime, buy their books.
And I have just now pictured the flaming disaster of buying Christmas presents for my parents from Fur Planet.
Hey,
they got some G-rated stuff.
Oh, yeah. Right, calendar would be great.
We have G and PG rated. I don't know if they would appreciate the male bulgy furries. It's samurai themed this year. You could say, it's a cultural thing.
Yeah, you know, it's how true samurai fought with their dicks and little sacks and giant swords.
That's right, yeah. All you need is a sword and something to cup your balls, and you're good to go.
Over here.
That's so, like in the samurai code.
Yep.
Or something like that.
Christmas is coming, and that brings Cookie Geddon is coming.
Yes.
And
yes.
I have double ovens this year. It was so great cooking for Thanksgiving. Can't wait to do it.
Yeah,
because usually cool. When I'm doing a big cook for Thanksgiving, I've got like things queued up that when one comes out, the next one goes in, and I kind of do it by temperature. But this year it's like between having them both going, as soon as I had something ready, I could put it in.
So, you know, we have a smaller than standard oven because it's in the wall and it's not a double oven. Size. So, like, we're going to do Thanksgiving at our house next year. And Buck is like, there's no way I'm cooking over here with that oven. And I was like, yeah, I guess finally replacing the oven has got to make it onto our priority list this year.
Well, the problem is, and I found this because when I first moved in and had problems with that oven, start pricing replacements. And if you've got the smallest size, there's actually very slim pickings without having to overhaul the entire goddamn wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that cabinet is weird where our ovens are. Like, I don't think it's actually, I don't know if it's actually built into that. Like, it looks like it was maybe added or something like that. I mean, it's original to the house, but it looks like maybe we could adjust it somehow. I'm not sure. We'll have to get a contractor to come over and it's all fucked up. This will be $10,000.
Sorry.
It's all right. But it'd be nice to get, a standard size oven on the bottom and one of those oven slash convection oven microwaves on the top. And then we could free up some countertop space by not having our little countertop microwave.
I would, you can do ovens on the bottom, and then they either have convection ovens. They're not the same thing as microwave. But you can do oven microwave combo.
Yeah.
Because mine is the top oven is a convection oven, and the bottom is just a regular one. And I was struggling with it for a long goddamn time. Then I realized, oh, well, let's see what convection does. And I tried it, and the thing actually works dynamite on the convection setting. Regular is...
Some of the functionality of the regular setting has been compromised.
Yeah.
Because I remember back in the day, like, convection ovens were also microwaves. Like, you could have them, like, on a desktop. You
know, no. Well, convection is a lot of forced air, and that helps cook things as well. So.
It's like faster than an oven, but not as fast as a microwave.
Yeah, it's.
But you've also got the microwave above your range.
Mm-hmm.
Your stovetop.
Well, one cooks with basically microwaves, you know, which is not heat. A convection oven actually uses regular oven heat with forced air to kind of move. It's kind of like a blow dryer. So it kind of dries and roasts all at the same time. Near as I could tell, when you use a convection oven, you have to down 25 degrees and it cuts off a fuck ton of time. So be really goddamn careful.
It's tasted slightly harsh. What do you think? Maybe one coal or scoop them around.
I'll move them around. Here, go ahead and blow it out.
Savin will have to do some.
We'll fix it in post.
It's fine. I mean...
Yeah, well, we just have a little bit of dead air while we're fiddling with it.
Oh, I always cut that shit out. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Don't cut out our cooking cast mini episode there.
So... Speaking of cooking, though, we're 42 minutes into the recording, and your apples were...
I put Siam on that. Okay. So, if we want to stop and save now, I will go get dessert.
Stop and save. We have baked apples to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, we're going to do that now. Be right back. And we're back.
In full.
We have had delicious apples.
Yes.
Warm, delicious apple accessories.
Apples. So, apples and apple accessories.
Yep, there was caramel, which is an apple accessory.
Right.
True.
So, we've got emails. You've got questions and statements and all that fun stuff. So you can always email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com or notcast@gmail.com. It goes to the same place. And you go to notcast.com, our Tumblr, and send us an on-asks there. So we have, looks like, 8 things.
And we also have, our Patreon is also notcast.
Yep.
And our Twitter is notcast.
So we have 2 email/asks per boob.
Well, in this case, it's not that many, actually. There's 6.
Oh, okay. That's a less even ratio.
Notices your badge.
So,
I'm going to just start out with this one at the very bottom. Let's see. Hi. Just ran up and got nose in the face. All right, this one says, it's called follow-up. Hello again, Notcast. I wrote in about a month ago with some concerns about my family and introducing my mate to them over the holidays, and just wanted to update things on that situation and ask for some advice about surviving trying to be creative. I talked to one of my uncles who once had to go through introducing his boyfriend to the family, and he told me I was getting worked up over not that big an issue. Turns out that some of the drama and crap surrounding him and his partner were more personal drama that was between them and the family and not really anything to do with this being a same-sex couple. I'm now comfortable enough to go forward with bringing my boyfriend to the Christmas party, although my gut tells me I'll probably continue to work on building some distance from all the craziness within the family. One way or another, I think things have been mostly patched up there. Oh, this is the one that was relating up in Michigan, I believe. I'd like to address the following question to Fuzz. Although I know that every regular member of the cast works in some creative media or other, how can someone quell perfectionism and find a way to be patient with their own way of creating? I've been working on a few projects in writing for over 2 years now, and while I've been motivated to keep working on them, and will likely take some time to work on them over the winter break and holiday season, school, work, and life has kept most of my underway project at just 13,000 words, and I haven't made much progress on it since May. Sometimes things come up you just don't expect, but due to all these setbacks, I've been unconvinced that I'll ever have a finished work that might be published, and it's really wearing on my self-esteem and patience with the creative process. I really look up to authors in the fandom like Kyle Gold and Rukus and Rikoshi, and I've had some ideas I really wanted to get out there, and I also aspire to maybe getting to be a respectable writer in the furry forum. It just doesn't seem that I can take too long on a project or have life interrupt it without tearing myself in half with impatience and frustration. I'm just wondering how to survive the creative process and have more patience with things when it comes to, like, long-term projects, which I think about constantly and have already put a ton of work into, seems like it's for nothing. To not go too far into detail about past drama, I have some more published and formerly worked for a publishing house that had a lot of issues with putting out completely substandard work, with a few exceptions, and it gave me a false impression of publishing and writing as something easy and quick, and neither of those are true. I really want to overcome this and just find a way to be more content with taking things one at a time when 14-hour class days in college mean I don't have any room to write. Hopefully this hasn't been too long-winded. I'm just suffering from a severe case of imposter syndrome and know the cast has a lot of experience with surviving creativity. Have a happy holiday season, and I look forward to hearing more furry news and shenanigans. Shoji.
Okay.
The hiccup was a P.S.
It just said P.S.
Yep.
So on that, it was funny. I was just mentioning earlier we were having a discussion off air and talking to Shiva and Halfwit about writing, and this is something they came up on Sheath back in the day, is that you're not going to write unless you specifically set aside the time to do it, and a lot of people really need that. And I've heard good advice, I consider it good advice, but it's one of those your mileage may vary kind of things, but, like, make yourself a goal and stick to it. If it's, like, 500 words a day, or 200 words a day, or 500 words in a week, or, like, you know, if you can't do it every day, make, like, okay, every Saturday from this period of time or whatever, I'm going to do this. And it's like, it won't seem like much at the time if it's just like 200 words, but slowly but surely you're adding to that total word count and you're making progress. You may also want to start with a smaller project too. You know, like a short story to put up on one of the furry sites or submitting to an anthology. There's a lot of open anthology calls. I would again shout out the Furry Writers Guild website. Enjoyed that forum. There's a lot of people there. It's a good community. It's very supportive. You know, and Also, with the imposter syndrome, getting feedback helps a lot. Because if you have a piece that's finished, quote-unquote, and you might be tempted to just keep banging away at it and tweaking it forever, but you've got to kind of, like, let that baby go at some point. And a good way to do that is with beta readers. In actual, not just friends will be like, oh, that's nice, and won't give you any constructive criticism.
But what do you think about my story? It's nice.
It's just, it made me all sheepy.
It made me Murray Perry.
Yeah.
It's not a sex story. Oh, shit.
Wait, it was a murder mystery. Oh, I've said too much. Scampering away sounds. Where was but yeah, beta readers will give honest feedback, yeah, and you know, and taking that on board.
You can always work on like quick outlines, working on the overall structure of your story.
Mm-hmm.
You could do world building, like set up, like start working on. A lot of stories will have like compendiums or like definition sections where you can start fleshing out your world without actually writing the story. That can give you a better idea of what the world's like.
Don't do what I do and get lost in world building, though.
Yeah. But you're not actually going to publish that part, but you are working on it. And it's important for you, the author, to know a lot of that backstory, but you definitely want to trim it down a bit
for your actual finished product.
But it keeps your brain going.
The background can help in other ways. I know this is a detail from outside the fandom, but in terms of J.K. Rowling, a lot of the movie character of Snape, as we all know, was built by Alan Rickman. It was built off of, it turns out, one detail that J.K. Rowling gave him without any other background at the start of the story. And that was the meaning of always.
Mm-hmm.
So that having that background helps you develop a lot of things in the work.
Yeah. So I hope that helps a little bit there. But I think, especially when you're like, you're writing by yourself online, you can like feel kind of disconnected. So I think having that community of writers can make you feel like you're in a group and that you have like a writing group, even if you're separated by geography. And I think that can be very helpful as a motivator and a good way to get feedback.
Yeah. I know the goal setting thing works. I currently have a stalled project at about, 20,000-30,000 words, something like that. And the time I was most productive on it was the time I had a friend say, okay, if you do X writing in a day, I will roleplay with you online for like 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
And given that at that time that was one of my few actual social contacts.
Right.
But anything to add? No. Was there anything we needed to address in the relationship portion? Or was it?
No, it's just mainly about the creativity.
Okay, cool.
The relationship portion sounded like an update mostly.
Yeah, Shoji is the guy up in Michigan with the Japanese and Hispanic family sides and
the Michigan there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I guess I'll read this next one. The subject line is replace my other email with this one. Save yourself some time. I'm assuming you already archived or whatever.
I took care of it.
Okay. Hey, Notcast crew, sent a really long thing in the other day, but please replace that email with this one. I had low blood sugar, mopiness, and dumped years of backstory on you when I could just simplify it like so. And he's simplified it into 3 points here, so.
Yay!
Yay for synopsis.
One, I'm in an open marriage with someone who's lost all sex drive at this phase of their life. I'm getting what I need now with another mate in a poly situation, but it's hard to maintain a sense of closeness with my original mate without the sex. Do you know of any good way to keep getting good ways to keep that sense of being a loving partner for life without getting it on? I'm very sexual, so that's difficult. Two, because of the above, sometimes it feels weird that the mate I'm more sexual with is not my primary, and I'm not his. He's also married to a low-drive dude. Anything come to mind about keeping poly relationships from tilting out of balance? Three, something I wondered about with a lot of people asking about LDRs around here. When a couple in an LDR, that's long-distance relationship for the newer listeners, finally move in together, what's the reasonable amount of time to give before deciding this is or isn't working? From a frozen cat.
So, Polly.
I was kind of like... Oh, you can't see that very visual turn to Shiva on the podcast. Yeah.
The other thing about Polly and the sexual drive is... especially if it's new and shiny, that can be very, it can make it feel very lopsided, new, exciting. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. You know,
yeah,
you're so neat. A lot of it is make sure you keep doing romantic things. If it's a low drive, make sure it's not just low
interest
in just have it being in a relationship. Like, do romantic things. Have, you know, have special nights together. Curl up on the couch, watch movies if that's your thing. If you play games, find a game that you guys like together. It's finding things to kind of fill that connection point that's not just bumping uglies. For lack of a better term.
So the game of pin my cockhead to your lips?
Yeah.
poke the prostate.
Make sure that you're not just...
That's a good one, sorry. Excuse me.
Yay, it's not me.
Sorry. Hey, have fun things. Make sure that you're not just going through the daily...
home, work, dinner, go your separate ways in the house while you do separate things. You know, make sure you, that you're still making time to do things with each other that's not, you know, if there's a low bedroom interest, make sure you're maintaining everything else that goes with a poly relationship. And that's kind of the biggest thing when you got kind of that lopsided situation going on.
May I interject something here that's not poly-specific,
yeah,
but just relationship-specific in general?
Yes.
I am very, very heavily affected by certain types of pills, mm-hmm. and I've had to take them because I have hormone disorders, which killed for a long time my sex drive. And one of the big important things is to make sure you not divorce, but make it so that physical affection isn't solely a sexual thing.
Yeah.
Make sure you're still getting that positive touch with each other to reinforce the other points of closeness in your relationship.
Cuddle, touch, kiss, snuggle. Maybe don't
morning hugs.
Yes.
Put your cold hands on them when they step out of the shower.
Well, no, wait until about midnight and stick your icy feet on their calves.
As her husband glares.
So let me piggyback onto what Halfwit said, because I'm in an open marriage, not exactly poly, but I also have the situation where I'm taking medications for my mental health. And that had a very detrimental effect to my libido. So in my open marriage, I'm the low sex drive partner. And one of the ways that I kind of make that work is that Tiernan and I communicate a lot. Like, we talk all the time. And I feel that also constant communication and, you know, everything from the morning, hi, honey, and occasional hugs and stuff like that to, we're going to sit down and have a long talk about something. And it's not even always about our relationship. I mean, we riffed about politics and history for like 6 hours till we realized it was like 2 a.m. and we were on a work night.
Mm-hmm.
you know, things like that, or in like watching our favorite show together. And again, like, I think Shiva said about the little romantic things about like, going out to dinner together and stuff like that, and making sure that you still have that time together.
Yeah. A good long-term relationship occasionally causes you to ruin your sleep talking to the other person because you just got right. caught up.
And in a very long-term relationship also just has its ups and downs, mm-hmm. Both in libido and in emotion. And, you know, at the beginning of that relationship, at the beginning of a lot of relationships, it's very hot and heavy. And
it like, will cool off and you'll...
Yeah. And the way I've heard it described, it's like when you're first getting together, it's like you're in that fantasy period, you know, when it's like it's all the good and I don't want to say and none of the bad. It's all the good, none of the boring.
And it's none passion.
It's passion. It's lust. It's not the day-to-day stuff of, well, this amount of money's in the rent checking account.
Who's going to drop the car off at the garage?
Right. What are we making for dinner? Did we run out of that in the freezer?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit, can you run to Walmart while I work on this?
Right. The day-to-day adult living. And in the case, the last question he asked was how long after going from LDR to living together do you know whether it's going to work or not? I mean, you know, with Tiernan and I mean, that first year living together, thinking back on it, I mean, it was probably rocky. It was probably very up and down as we discover each other's foibles, things that irritate each other that we do.
Compromise and working out those foibles, where you either learn to put up with it or they learn to change their shit.
Right, yeah. And like I or mentioned...
Somewhere halfway between.
Yeah. Learning what you can and cannot live with.
Well, and I mentioned one time previously, one of my little annoyances, which Tiernan still does, is the cabinets. Yeah. Tiernan cannot for the fucking life of him close a kitchen cabinet door all the way. And... And so now, I mean, and I at some point subconsciously decided mentally that this is not worth breaking up over. This is just a thing that he's going to do, that he's always done. And now there are days I walk through the kitchen on the way to the coffee maker and just, clunk, clunk, clunk. I just close the cabinets as I walk past them. And I don't even really think about it anymore. It's just, oh, that cabinet's ajar. And it's like automatically locking a door behind you when you pull it closed. You know, you just kind of clunk, clunk, clunk.
That's one of the ways I drive my poor husband crazy. I cannot, because I've lived with cars without automatic locks for so long.
Oh, right.
I cannot walk away from a car without visually or somehow ascertaining that the car is locked.
Oh, I still pull my handle even after I've hit the thing. Yeah.
Well, that I had to stop because it drove him further crazy because, of course, I'd managed to pull it at the exact second he was trying to lock it.
Right, yeah.
Which...
but to get back to the actual time frame that he's asking about.
Are you unhappy?
I know for sure that when Tieran and I renewed our 1-year lease, that was the point where I could be like, I don't want to renew the lease with you. I want to move back to Florida or attend another apartment or something like that. So I know by that point I decided that, well, I've been here a whole year and we haven't killed each other, so it's probably working. It might have been a shorter term than that, but re-signing the lease is like it was a more definite point in a relationship that I know at that point that I believed that it was working.
It's a concrete step.
Yeah. So that was mine. Your mileage may vary.
And going back to the poly thing and low drive, I mean, after you've been with someone a while, or if there's a low drive situation, you also have to kind of look at this as they should be, if not your best friend, then at least certainly high on the list. They should be the, I want to go do X with you. When you're thinking about going to do something, or you want to go see a movie, and you want to go do this, you want to go do that, ideally that should be the person that first pops to your brain. Now, Siam and Sarah have different interests, so we go and do different things together. And that's kind of where that falls. But, and you kind of have to keep that in mind when you're doing this. You know, I want to go see a movie. Who pops the brain? And why do they pop there? I mean, is it because it's, you know, are you going to want to sit and go, ooh, and talk about the movie the entire way home with this person? Or you want to curl up with them in the theater? Ideally, your primary should be best friend, and the first one that comes to mind of, I want to go have this fun time with you. And I'm not talking sexy times. I mean, if you like going to the museums or going out and eating or sort of foodies, you know, it should be, let's go do this together. And you want to go experience this thing with them because they're fun. And maybe you want to go out and do it with other people too and drag them along. Yeah, but for the most part, they should be the person that first comes to brain when you think about going and doing things together because you enjoy their company.
And sometimes you will fall out of that, but it's at that point that you have to make the effort to make them one of the people you do things with regularly.
Exactly.
Sometimes you do need that little mental checkup.
Yeah.
And there's other things like, you know, Tieran will never ask me to game with him because we just know 15 years in, I'm not a gamer in like any capacity. But like with movies, even if I'm fairly sure he'll say no, because it's a particular, like it's a weird movie that I'm into that I know he'll have no interest in, I'll still check with him.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, Lord, dragging people into my terrible movie hijinks.
Oh, God, some of the ones you've shown me.
Like, it's interesting because like one of the ones like I didn't think Tieran would enjoy that he actually really enjoyed, this is years ago, was Little Miss Sunshine. Mm. We all went to see it up at the Angelica Film Center in Plano, and he really liked it.
But between you, Rahada, and Tesser,
you have seen some of the most terrible things.
Y'all have shown me some horrible movies.
I know you were there for the Teenage Cat Girls in Heat birthday party.
Oh my, mixed with, and amazing. Then it was Zebra Man.
Yeah.
You know what I still haven't seen? I have not seen Wolf Cop.
We need to do that because I need to see it too.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And I know Sarah was having fun with it, and he was tweeting at the director.
And the director tweeted at him. He mentioned, oh my God, this horrible film, and then the director tweeted at him.
Yep.
So yeah, we can always show that at Cookiegeddon because it is awful. It's not very Christmassy, but
it's in terms of terrible, can it top Thanksgiving 3?
No.
Okay.
No, different
that's,
kind of terrible.
That's my current benchmark.
For I'd all. Like to find...
That's a different kind of terrible.
Okay.
I'd like to find copies of the Silent Night, Deadly Night films.
I'm sure we can. Like,
they were banned for a long time. Because it's basically a guy in a Santa Claus suit killing people. And there was this you know, in the satanic terror of the 1980s, people were like, it's going to make kids afraid of Santa, or it's going to make perverts dress up as Santa to go and, like, kill kids or something like that. There's a lot of for the children hysteria.
It is amazing how much perverts might affects our society.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Might. Not does. Might.
Anything to include, Sauer?
Not really. Just when it comes to... You got to hit all the points, really. Okay. I mean... I yeah.
I'm like that, too. I'm like, I mean, everyone else has said anything. I'm just like, I'm good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Panther is just one of those with, like, he's, like, no drive, and so, you know, I'm glad I have an open relationship and a couple people to play with.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's just the whole cooking dinner together and watching TV and, you know, communication, like, hey, I'm going to go to the store. Is there anything you need to pick up?
Cheese.
Yeah, he had to pick up, two of the 2-pound Colby Jack blocks from Kroger today.
And he just rubbed them on his face and went, jeez.
No, he just wants dinner. You know, not really. But yeah, it's just communication and, you know, being able to fuck other
you
people.
You carved a little smiley face for him in the top of the cheese and gave it little kitty ears.
Yes.
Make it into a circle.
I wonder if I could make cheese roses.
Yes, I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
Don't know if you want to, but you can.
Next email.
It's not really much of an email. All it is a Tumblr ask that says "fuck 2016."
Yep,
I think we covered that.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Next one.
We agree, anonymous.
This is another. It's an actual email. Closet Cat here, and I'd like to just thank you guys again for helping me through my workday and for letting the things you and for the things you've introduced me to. I left Pepper Coyote's band Look Left, and I've never found them without you. And I'd never... Once I figured out how to use Telegram, I've thoroughly enjoyed your chat room. Thought I'd slide in here for the last episode of the year and wish you guys a positive holiday season, and I can't wait to hear from y'all in 2017.
Aw, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yay, thank you.
We're helping.
And here's a question for Halfwit, at least as soon as it loads, unless one of you can pull it up faster. Because it's just spinning.
Okay.
Spinning. Oakley Doke.
Saverin's got it.
A question for Saverin.
Ah.
Saverin, have you seen the new NSFW comic by Seth Iova Leoseda?
Yeah.
Okay, did I pronounce that vaguely right? Involving Fennec and Nick.
Yes.
What do you think
about
it so far?
You would look so cute in that little dress.
Cross-dressing isn't my thing too much, but I think it's pretty cute so far.
I need to get this to load so I can get the link to the name of the comic.
Yeah, it's really
it's
well
It's called Dress to Undress.
Ooh. Yeah, and it involves Nick and Finnick and Finnick in a little nurse outfit and
oh god,
dick sucking.
The one cute. The other day when
I'm assuring there would be fucking, but...
When Finnick and Nick were, I think it was both banging Judy and Finnick came before Nick couldn't pull out or something. He's like,
no, it
I'm
was,
stuck.
They were fucking Gazelle, because, yeah.
Because
they would split Judy in half. It just
because yeah. Judy is only for Fox.
And Nick's like,
oh, TC,
not yet.
Well, no, because in that case, they're both foxes.
Oh, that's right. Judy is only for Nick.
Yeah, that's by the artist Tush. They do some really hot stuff.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I like Judy, but I also really like Giselle.
And yeah, they've done a number of pieces, featuring that. And Pokemon stuff and a bunch of other just random furry stuff. It's hot. Tush.
All right, so we got one last email for this year. Who's taking it? Is that
the
Saverin?
Last email of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dun, dun, dun. To Saverin.
I will read it. Thanksgiving and other things. Hey, Notcast, slided right in because I got some good news and I feel like sharing. First and foremost, this will be my first night in my new room, which is to say my own room, one I'm paying the rent for. And I have to say much that I'm really excited. Granted, not as much with the money that I have to pay a month, but that happens. Regarding the holiday, it was pretty nice. Made some money slinging coffee at Starbucks, and the store's policy that day was for all non-management employees to split the tips for that day instead of putting it into the general pool. for all non-management employees who worked on a weekly basis. I made 70-plus that night, which was not counting the time and a half for working Thanksgiving. For Christmas, I'm getting myself Legion and experiencing all the things everyone else has been super excited about. I probably won't wait until Christmas. Anyway, that's it from me. Hope you guys are doing well, and that you and everyone else has a wonderful holiday season. PJ Wolf.
Thank you.
Thank Yay. You. And you missed out, man. Black Friday sale on Legion. It was like 30% off or something like that.
It was somewhat off. It wasn't that great. It was an okay deal.
Well, you can find it physical on sale, probably. And, They're doing some stuff in the next patch that makes it super easy to catch up if you're behind.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be really nice. I'm actually like, oh, I guess I'll level my alts because I don't have to grind all the way to AK-20 5 days at a time.
I wish they would do something for after X amount of time you could get, like, resource. Because half the time I'm doing world quests just for fucking resources. And it's like, man, I wish they'd put on a multiplier after such amount of time.
Or let you accrue them.
Yeah.
Like they did. I mean, yeah, 500 a day or whatever, you know? It doesn't have to be that much, but, like,
yeah, something.
Alts, I've been having to, until I got the research thing done on my warlock, I was having to feed her shit with blood, buying the resource caches. But now I have one of the trinkets on a bodyguard and small stuff, so I get 150 per quest regardless. It's
nice. I don't know about accruing. Like a multiplier, so you don't have to go out in your high level tune where you've done a lot of it, but you need to maintain.
It's like, please go smack the shit out of these 800,000 HP mobs, and we'll give you 300 resources. It's like, I'm like two-shotting them.
Yeah.
Do it anyway.
Yeah, because right now I have to keep running all of my alts so much, I can't go back and do other things.
I've basically stopped doing a lot of garrison quests unless they either provide gold and I can get 200%, or they are like rep
AP.
Tokens. AP for sure, and then rep tokens that I'm exalted with because they become BOA.
Mm-hmm, I like that.
So I've been like, oh shit, I've been feeding all the Suramar tokens I can get to my alts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, man, those crack elves.
Yes.
I'm digging that storyline, though.
So far,
next week's shit's gonna get real because we've led the army right into the middle of the fucking city, except we're right in the middle of the fucking city. So she's gonna, like, pincer attack and shit's gonna go down! And the elves will have to learn to fight together and get the stick out of their ass. Fucking elves! You've got the blood elves, you've got the night elves, and you've got the crack elves. And nobody likes anybody. And they're all a bunch of cunts, but they're all cousins.
Isn't like that the way with family?
Yep.
Yes.
Taranda, get that stick out of your ass. Varisa, fuck you.
So, it's... I'm enjoying
opinions, wow.
Yeah, Fuzzwolf is just tuned out.
Oh, phone time.
I vaguely know what they're talking about.
You have played a little.
Hey,
at
least Thalrissa's a neat enough character. And I saw a really funny thing that I retweeted. It was, you know how Oculeth is. And someone drew him as Professor Farnsworth. Good news, everyone! The Telemancy Network is online again!
Yes! I like Oculeth a lot.
Yeah.
And so, there's some fun NPCs.
Valtois, the Sundari, she's like, not like I like you or anything, Outlander.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Occasionally, I've thought of learning Spanish, because it could come in handy here, and now I'm like, I should learn whatever language they're speaking, because I'm totally lost.
World of Warcraft, woo!
I'm still enjoying it.
Yeah. I've got 3 alts to 110 now.
Going back to the, oh shit, I have to empty the dishwasher. I bought Civ 6. I haven't played more than a little bit of it, because I have a really hard... It's because, wow, I can do like a world quest. Get up and walk around. Civ, it's Civ. And yeah. You dedicate like your entire evening to one campaign, and you might get to a point where you remember what you're doing the next day. But it's...
Oh, God. Got a bit rough there. A bit harsh.
You're not supposed to fill the bowl with mosquitoes, Shiva.
Sorry.
So,
I loaded it just for him.
I totally know the feeling, though. Because, yeah, it's real easy to log into WoW, do shit for 5 minutes, and walk away. And when you want to play other games like Doom or Elite Dangerous, you have to, like, dedicate time. And, like, with Elite Dangerous, holy shit, that learning wall. It took me, like, 5 hours before I decided, yeah, I'm not going to give up on this.
Yeah.
The only WoW term that I've heard repeatedly is grinding. And I know when I think of it, it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that was a lot of smoke.
Okay.
Hookah maintenance.
Yep.
Yay.
So, we are now an hour 15 and it's 9:38.
Which is early for us.
Yeah. Like 40 degrees.
Except it's cold, and I'm cold.
I'm cold, too.
So, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back at the start of next year.
I think we have it scheduled for... Let me find January.
January to something.
Yeah, we... I think it was the first week, the first Thursday in January.
Yep.
Which I think is the 5th.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because if we don't do it then, it's going to be like the end of the month, because I'll be away for FC.
Yeah.
Well, you always got us.
Yeah. And, you know, we can always grab half whip or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You
don't need me. I'm out. Fuck this. Table flips.
It'll probably be our last, unless it goes up to like a weird 70 week, this will probably be our last hookah venture.
Yeah.
So, thank you for putting up with all the bubbling and, like, dog noises.
So, don't email us over the holiday, because it'll be super out of date by the time. But
now, if you got cool stories.
Yeah.
Stories are
let
fun.
Us know if you have a cool Christmas and New Year's and all that fun stuff. You know. Merry Christmas.
And you can write your MFF con report, so they'll get read right before FC. But...
Now, they could say there's links to neat stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so cool comics, furry stuff, send us all kinds of links and interesting stuff, and we can talk about it then. But as far as questions, it's going to be off-air only until January, unless you're okay with it pending for a while. Like,
but
sex advice. Or...
On the upside, we do have our Telegram group, and the show notes will have the link again this week. And we have a Discord group for people in the Telegram group, so we can play group games, so that's not going to change. We're still going to do Jackbox party games as frequently as I can.
And I need to come over and do that and play, because it's just not the same over...
Yeah. With lag, you know?
Yeah.
And have a second person commentating with me.
Oh, God.
Oh, maybe we should just do that as a thing some night.
Okay.
Come over and play Jackbox.
Find, like, a random evening.
Maybe on a Tuesday or a Thursday during the break, or...
Mm-hmm.
Friday, Saturdays when I normally do my scheduled stream. So.
Yeah,
I'm told I'm not that funny, but I'm a very plausible liar.
I'm good at fibbage. Yeah, I beat Bob frequently, and he's a lawyer.
Wow.
So I'm gonna wrap it up here. Thank you guys for listening. Oh wait, God, I'm repeating myself, but we have to give our like, hey, follow us and shit.
Oh, okay.
So you can follow me on Twitter at SavinDrake. You can find me on Twitch.tv at Savrin. You can find me on YouTube. Go to justafox.com. I've got constant bullshit going up there. Fuzz?
Don't you want to, like, give out your home address, too, in case they want to follow you on the street?
No.
No? Okay. All right. You can follow me at Fuzzwolf on the Twitter. If you're interested in my company and publishing and books and stuff, you can follow at For Planet. And that's also where we'll post stuff about... new anthology submissions that we're opening. If you're interested in writing something, and if you're interested in buying stuff, that's also where we post about sales and stuff like that. So, Sheba?
All right. On the Twitters, I am Chimera, Khymaera. That's the primary place you'll find me. You'll find me in the Notcast group. Other than that, you'll probably just find me on WoW. I don't know. My social presence has really kind of dropped like last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is what it is.
Halfwit,
you can find me once every 6 months on Twitter at halfwit_genius. I also have dropped a lot of social media presence in recent times.
Telegram has taken over a lot of it, and plus just RL.
Yeah.
RL is really a lot of how we network these days, because we have a big physical social group talk with.
Yeah, and we'll all be hanging out at New Year.
Yes.
Yep. So, Bo is posing and being cute and looking at me sad, but the moment I pull up my camera, he's like, what? Nope.
Yep.
He is a photo-averse dog.
Yeah, every time you point a camera at him, he stops doing whatever cute thing he's doing. He's like, oh! And
what's
moves.
That? Mm-hmm. So, anyways, on that note, good night.
And see you in 2017.